Stuck in a dinner rut? We've all been there. Bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
What is up, family, you all, we are here. We wasn't on last week, we wasn't on week before last, but we had to come in this week and give you all another great episode. I do not have my co-host, my sister, Miss Hannah, with me on tonight. She is a little bit under the weather, so we'd ask you all to continue to pray for her. We know that God is going to do a great healing for her, so we'd ask you all to keep her in prayers. But I do have a family member up in the building. Like, you all, me and this girl go back like two flat tires. Like, we are that tight. Like, we met in a podcasting group, and immediately we linked in. We've had our ups, we've had our downs. We've had our fallouts every once in a while. But one thing that I could say about me and this girl right here, all it takes is a conversation. And once you find somebody that all it takes is a conversation with, and y'all right back picking it up like y'all ain't never left, that's how you know it's real, y'all. I'm talking about my homegirl, my friend, the mother, the workout enthusiast, everything all made up into one, my homie, Ms. Tweet Talks is
what's
in
up,
the
what's
building,
up,
y'all.
Everybody? That's Rachel. Tweet Talks is officially in the house. What's up, bro?
What is up? Like, it has been, what, a minute since we've done something
together?
It has
been forever since we've actually got back on this podcasting scene together. Just like you mentioned something that was really important. The bond that we have, it went through some things. But all it took was a phone call and a conversation, and we back at it. So I'm so glad to be here with you today and to be able to talk our stuff, you know. For me and you, it's just like a regular phone conversation.
Legit. Because what people don't realize is when me and this girl first clicked, when we first linked up, like, what, we would be on the phone, what, about 3 to 4 hours a day?
Yep.
Just setting it up.
Talking. Mm-hmm. And we'd be just vibing and chit-chatting, and like, about
And literally, life. Even in those phone calls, like we would be sitting there and we would be like, yo, this is a podcast episode. Let's jump on a podcast together.
Yeah.
And we'd be sure like, all right, bet, let's do it.
And see, the cool thing about it is we would actually debate about a lot of stuff. And then we brought so many other people into the realm. And I think at one point we had like, what is it, like 5 or 6 people? We had a lot of people on set one time when we were just vibing. Like, and what people didn't understand is this was regular conversation. Like, we talked a lot about people relationships. We talked about people. We talked about personal romantic relationships. We talked about life. We talked about pursuing our goals. We talked about health and just being our best self, you know, because that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be our best self and not to be distracted by anything sideline, you know.
Facts. And that's what we did. Like, and that's what I love about us is that we always did that. And we always was not afraid to have those hard conversations.
No.
No.
We never did. We always was able to have those real strong conversations. And I think the dopest thing about two people that can have serious, impactful conversation is being able to have that conversation without losing touch with each other, just being mad and never speaking again and just allowing that to alter our relationships in a whole. And we didn't do that. So, and we were talking about some heavy stuff, you know, but it never jolted us. We always had, if we had a difference in opinion and things, we just had a difference in opinion. We just came back to it, you know? So that was definitely what's up. I enjoyed that.
I do too. And that's why when Hannah hit me up and told me that she was too sick to come on, I knew without a shadow of a doubt who I wanted to get on this show with me tonight.
I love that.
I'm like, all right, babe, let me call my sis and let me get her up in here. She was supposed to come on another time and something happened, but we made it work.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I've stepped away from podcasting for a portion of time because I was doing other things, but it's always been my love. It's been my love, my ability to be able to just talk and be real with my audience, unjudgmental. And I really enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you what I really like about you. I'm going to just keep it really 110%. I'm going to tell you what I really like. We would talk and have some serious conversation. And on Sunday morning, you would get up and you would go to the pulpit and you would preach. And for everybody that knows the love of God, when you can have conversations with your friends and talk about the tough stuff, and they have the ability to get up and give the word next day, and they're not they don't feel like the conversation they had was not impersonable, which is important to do. Important to be human, be real, be yourself, and still be able to be the messenger of the Lord. So I think that is really important, and I love that.
What is up, Shira?
Hey, Shira.
Hey, how are you doing, sis? Yes, the blessing. Yeah,
Shira was one of our co-hosts that we. Shira was one of our. She was one of our throwbacks. We had a lot of different episodes, and we would talk about different stuff. So super shout out to Shira because she was in a lot of our podcasts because we did our thing together.
We was a team back in the day. Y'all heard of Death Row Records? Death Row Records didn't have nothing on us three.
That's right.
We was a team back in the day.
That's like, right. We did.
Like anything we did together.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And like we was quick with it. We was ready to work.
We was driven though.
We were.
We was so driven. I remember the conversation. We'd be like, listen, we getting ready to do this. And I'd be like, you think that's gonna work? They'd be like, yeah, watch this. We get ready to do this. And I'd be like, all right, I'm down. Let's see what we're gonna do. So I respect Shira and you for keeping it going for, you know, all this time.
As he said, tweet, tweet, y'all.
Tweet, tweet, yes. Y'all in the house.
Yes, 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 yes. Like, for real, mm-hmm. y'all. For real. Y'all don't understand. Like, the vibe and the energy. Sarah said it best. That was the best show ever. Legit. Oh, yeah. That really was. Because that was not a show. That was like.
That was like real life coming to everybody. Like, everybody had the opportunity to see us.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
But they didn't understand was that behind the scenes, before we got on that camera,
yeah.
That's what made us so, so good. Was yeah. Because before we got on that camera, we had vibed out before we even came before everybody else.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, legit. That's why. And even to this day, what I love about you and what I love about Sarah is if I need y'all, it's a phone call and I got y'all.
That's right.
Like, legit. There was a time where, like Sarah just said, it wasn't scripted. It was raw and unfiltered.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a time where Sarah came on as a guest on one of my new shows that I have. She ended up being a co-host with me that night. And it was like, there was nothing to it because the energy and the chemistry that we already have, that we have already built up. Yeah. And legit. And that's the same way with me and you. Like, when, yeah. even though we may have those hard conversations.
Oh, yeah, we did. We definitely did.
We had to. And like, yeah. I've had those hard conversations with Sarah too. Like, yeah. we've had to have those hard conversations, but guess what, y'all? It doesn't change the love that you have for that person.
That's right.
And because see, that's family the thing. Goes through stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about growing in maturity is you are only really mature when you can have those tough conversations and take accountability for what you've done, what you've said, maybe the way you've acted, and just say, you know what, this is my reality. And what we have to realize is people got things going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So nobody is without having something going on. So when you have those things going on, sometimes you have to have somebody that's trusted, because I think that's really important. If this person is trusted, then you have the ability to say, you know what, I know you got this is going on, but you came off this kind of way. You said this kind of way. And just be willing to take accountability and move forward. And I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
So what we got going on tonight? What are we
look,
talking about?
Y'all, look, because we could talk about that. Oh, we could talk about the chemistry that the three of us have had for forever.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into this topic on tonight, y'all. Let's get into it.
Oh,
tonight,
yes.
We are talking about finding yourself before you get involved with someone else.
Mm. I know so many people's looking like, what's she getting ready to say? What are you getting ready to say?
Mm-hmm. Come on. So y'all already know, for me, my motto is always ladies first. So I'm going to let my sister go first tonight.
So when we say finding ourselves, I think that as women, when we think of finding ourselves, the first thing that we think about is finding the things that we like, finding ourselves, finding the way we want to look, finding the way we want to feel, finding everything that makes us feel good. But I think it goes much deeper than that. Because when you think about loving yourself, you really have to think about the things that you've done that may not have been very pleasing to the eye of somebody else or maybe pleasing to yourself, which goes back to accountability. So in order to love yourself going forward, you have to say to yourself, you know what? I've done this. I've said this. I've participated in this or whatever the situation is, and really hold yourself accountable and say, you know what? I'm going to do better. And that's the part of loving yourself. Loving yourself is recognizing the things that you did that wasn't the best things that you could have done. And moving forward and saying, you know what, I'm going to do better going forward. And recognizing that nobody is without fault. Everybody has some type of fault in their life. So I think that as a woman, that's something that a lot of us don't like to do that we should do. How about you? What you got for men?
For men, I feel like sometimes as men, we don't want to hear the fact that we've done messed up. That's the last thing we want to hear as a man, is that, yo, you did this wrong. Mm. We want to be pampered. We want to be like babyfied sometimes. Or let me rephrase that. A little boy wants to be babyfied. A grown man is going to accept the fact that, yo, I didn't do what's right. So since I didn't do what's right, like, yo, baby, let me know what I need to do in order to fix this so that we can get this right.
But what kind of woman does a man take that kind of conversation from? Because I feel like as a woman, a lot of men are not able to take that type of conversation from a woman. So what kind of traits can a woman give that shows that man is, it's okay for you to say, you know what, I'm messed up in this area. I'm not right in this area. Because I feel like men are taught to be masculine. They are taught to be authority figures. So what can that female do to allow him to feel comfortable in accepting that type of criticism from him?
Be that man's safe space. Be that safe space for that man. Like, let's be honest. Society, especially for African-American men, society beats us up enough as it is. The last thing we need when we come home is to be beat up by the woman that we love. That's the last thing we want.
I get that. Because the world is tough. And sometimes women feel like the world is tough for just us. But the reality of it is men have their own issues. And no matter sometimes how much we talk about it and communicate with the opposite sex, we really, really, really don't understand it until we've experienced it. So you can say, this is what I'm dealing with. This is the situation. But until you've actually had to actually deal with it, you really don't understand. It's just a conversation at that point. So I get that. Okay.
I agree. So, all right, let's get into these questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm going to let you go first.
All right. So why do so many people feel guilty when they prioritize themselves?
Because we are told that that's selfish. We are told that choosing yourself is selfish. But in all honesty, what it really is you're not selfish. You're thinking about yourself more. And one thing that I've learned, especially this year, is that I cannot continue to pour from an empty cup. So it's like, I got to learn that, you know what, bet. If this cup isn't filling me anymore, why am I still coming over here and still drinking from it when I know it's empty?
I totally agree with you. But I think that when people say they prioritize themselves and loving yourself more, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The problem is when you love on yourself and you downplay the other people that's around you, that's where the problem lies. You're supposed to love yourself. God put you on this earth to love others, and you can't love somebody else unless you're giving yourself the opportunity to love yourself. However, if you are downplaying somebody else or other people in your life, then there is a problem with the way you're loving yourself. Because if I love me saying things, negative things, and promoting negativity among other people is not loving on myself. And I think that a lot of times when we think of men, you know, sometimes when you think of men, and a man can put a lot of pressure on a woman and how she should be. As a woman, a plus size woman, you hear oftentimes from men, she should be a certain weight. She should be a certain height. She should carry herself a certain way. She should do this. She should do that. And when you get to a point in your life when you love yourself, none of the outside matters. And that's something I had experienced myself. And when you get to a point where you truly love yourself, the outside and the things that people say on the outside don't necessarily mean a lot to you going forward. So I think that that's one of the ways that you can prioritize loving yourself without feeling guilty. Excuse me, y'all, I'm under the weather a little bit, but you have to remember that when you're loving on yourself, that you don't have to put anybody down around you. You prioritizing you and how you feel without any external components involving themselves in that. So that's super dope. It's on
very
you.
True, very true, very true. Like, for instance, one thing that I know about Miss Tweet Y'all and my Sarah Renee voice is that she definitely going to go to the gym. She's definitely going to the gym. Like, my sis is going in that gym at least 3 days a week.
And see, the thing is, when it comes to even working out, so when I first started working out, I worked out with a group of people. And trust me when I tell you, it was the best. I loved it. We had a good time. We laughed. We act silly. And that's my personality. I love those things. But when it came to true self-care, that meant that I had to go, whether this person didn't go, this person had a reason not to show up, this person lost their membership card, this person this. It was no longer about the people that was around me. It was for me. And I truly felt more of a completeness when I started going by myself, because I had no other, there was no reason to not go. I couldn't say this person is not going, this person is no longer going, this person got this going on. I relied on myself. And a lot of people don't realize is, you know, going to the gym is not about necessarily the physical aspect of it. It's all mental. You know, that's where I get my mental strength, and all of it comes from going to the gym. And I make that something so such a priority that there's nobody that can take that from me. Because I'm not relying on anybody else. So, yeah.
I love that. Like, because in all honesty, like, that's one of the things you and I have in common. Like, we definitely gonna get that gym time in. We definitely gonna work out. We definitely gonna make sure that we are making sure that we are our best selves. And in all honesty, even though we in two different states, like, we push each other to be better.
Definitely, very true. Sometimes I'll get that phone call, that text. How many reps of this you doing? How many reps of that doing? Or it'll be like, I got a challenge for you.
Yes.
So I always respected that, because sometimes it'll be a time in my life where I really don't feel that encouraged to go. And although the Bible says you have to encourage yourself sometimes you run into those situations where you're not that encouraged, and then you get that phone call. We get that text message.
And for me, I know my sis like the back of my hand. And the best way to get her to get up and go into that gym is to tell her that you can beat her in something. At that moment, you are seeing that other side of her. Like, oh, okay, bet.
Let's go. Yeah, I love that. So I got a question for you.
All right, let's go.
How do past hurts or trauma affect the way we love ourselves today?
I think sometimes if you haven't gone through that healing process that you need to go through, it can hurt you in a huge way, because you start bleeding on people that you don't need to bleed on.
That's true. Very true. For me, I feel like traumas don't go anywhere. We can mask them. We can cover them up. We can dress them up. They don't go anywhere. We just have to learn to live life with them existing. You know, that's like when you deal with a person that has a substance, some type of substance or drug problem. It doesn't go anywhere. You learn to live with it. You learn what your triggers are, and you be really open. When you find a person that you really trust, you be open and have confidence in this person to know that you're safe. It's a safe place. And you just let them know, you know, this is the situation. This is my past trauma. This is what I've dealt with. And it's always going to be a part of my life. And I'm just hoping that, you know, we can go forward in it. But I think the most important thing to do when you have dealt with trauma is, like I said, I'm a big fan of accountability. And If you can be accountable and know that you have past traumas and say, okay, you know, this is my situation and I want to love you and live in it at the same time, then you'll be fine. I think that's the main thing, you know, moving through life and saying, no, I'm not a problem. No, I'm not causing a problem. No, I don't have a problem. It's just a dead end of you being a problem. And the main way you'll know is because you don't keep people around long. People don't stay long. People will have portions of time they spend with you, and then they'll leave. They'll have time restraints on how long they're going to be in a relationship with you, and then they'll leave. And at that point, you have to revert back to the reality that it may not be the people around me. It's probably myself.
And yeah, accountability is very much key. Like, you got to have that accountability around you. Like, you, I've said this before, if you are the smartest person in the room, it's time for you to get in another room. Because you got to be a student of learning. You got to have some people around you that's going to be like, yo, bro, like, no, you're better than this. You could do better than this. I'm not going to let you accept this. I'm not going to let you settle for this. Like, man up. And like, legit, one of the things that I've always loved about you and my sister Sarah, y'all would do that. Like, even though I was y'all's little brother, both of y'all was not afraid to tell me, like, yo, you know, you have some of them sisters where it's like, whether you right or you wrong, they gonna be on your side regardless. Now, they're going to be on my side, but when I'm wrong, they're going to tell me.
Oh, yeah. We'll team up now.
Exactly.
They will team up like, this is the situation. This is how I'm feeling. She's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm feeling that. We can right tell them. And I think, but that should show a lot of growth in yourself. I know it has done the same thing for me. When you realize that, you know what? These are the things that I needed to hear that made me a better person, because you sit back and you think about it. When you're by yourself, when nobody's around, you think about it and you say to yourself, you know what? They right.
I need it.
Yeah, they right. And we did the same thing. It was plenty of conversations that we held. And when nobody was around, we would say, you know what? I know I did. I definitely did. I had to rethink about some things. And that's a part of growth, when you can have people in your life that hold you accountable and hold your hand. If somebody's not holding you accountable, then there's a reason why they're not holding you accountable. I don't want anybody around me that's not holding me accountable because they have a reason.
Mm. Look at this comment.
Yeah.
Dude, and will. And will. And it's vice versa, because I'll do the same thing for them. And they know where. It's like, don't ask me.
Mm-hmm. So I got a question for you. This is probably, okay, we got a comment here. Shira said, that's why a lot of people don't like to be alone, because it forces them to analyze themselves. So true. If you have to be surrounded by people 24/7, baby, it's not good, because it's forcing you to not see yourself. And I'm admitting, at one point in my life, I was like that, probably in my like high school years, many years ago. But as I became...
She is not that old, y'all. Don't let her fool you.
But as I became an adult, and you know, you start to see it, like I said, because nobody stays. Nobody stays. But listen, question, and it's going to be a banger, and I want you to be totally honest with this one. So I got here. How do you handle people who benefited from the old version of you but resist your growth? Meaning it's not able to handle the growing version of you. How do you deal with that?
I have to love them from a distance, if that makes sense. In other words, what that means is I have to mourn, and per se, that relationship that I have with that person. Now, what I mean by that is I cannot treat that person as the same way that I treat everybody else. I have to mourn that relationship with that person.
But what okay, but what happens if it's a pivotal person in your life that you recognize that you can't just put them on a back burner? You have to deal with this person. You have to function with this person. How do you deal with that person when that person is maybe sometimes maybe bringing up an older version of you, bringing up how you used to deal with things that you no longer deal with things, or when you recognizing this person just does not want to hold accountability for the things that they've done? How do you deal with this person?
How I deal with that person is I remind them that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So I remind them that they would not want people reminding them of what their past used to be. Because if we are really honest with ourselves and keep it a book with ourselves, every last one of us is an ex something. And now, just because your ex something is not as deep as my ex something, does not mean that you are better than me. Because in the eyesight of God, there's no big eyes and no little U's. So what we have to do is, and this can go back to the search as well. The church has to stop acting so sanctified to the point of that we have never done any wrong. We have to stop sticking our religious noses up in the air, because that is causing people to not want to come to the church. But what we really need to be is like that woman who was at the well, but after she came in contact with Jesus, she ran back into the city and told everybody in the city, come see a man that told me everything that there is to know about me. But see, what a lot of us have a problem with is that we get what we need from God and then we sit down. We don't run back into the city and tell others, come see a man that healed me. Come see a saint, come here, come see a saint that fed me, come see a saint that, yeah, I know I used to do this, but guess what? I came in contact with the master and now I do this. Yes, I know y'all remember me from doing this, but let me show y'all what God can do now.
Yeah. See, and that's so real that you mentioned that, because I'm a person that has done that. But I will tell you that when you go to God about something and he actually gives you, comes through what you need, what you want, and sometimes it's on time, sometimes it's slightly late to you, but on time to him. What we don't realize is he notices that, and he puts us in a place where you always have to come to him about something. Whatever it is that you need is not going to be in arm's reach. A lot of times it'll be something that he'll give you a sprinkle of this, step back, give you a sprinkle of this. He's always going to put you in that situation. That's like when we think about the woman in the Bible with the issue of blood. She didn't hide the fact that she was a woman of issue with blood, an issue of blood. She didn't hide that. She said it to everybody and anybody. All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. And when she did that and she realized, okay, you know what? I have successfully succeeded. She did. She did tell everybody he did heal me. But I can't think of the actual next story in regards to a woman similar to her. But she did come back again and say, you know what? I thank you. And pretty much I'll be back again, because, you know, he's the one that's going to be the healer, the one that's going to take care of her going forward. So I think that a lot of times as Christians and as people, when we get to our resolve, what we feel like is a resolve, we get tired too. I'm a person, when I go into prayer and I ask God for prayer, I'm like, Lord, it's me again. What's the situation now? This is the situation now. You came to me about this yesterday. You get tired and sometimes you have to step back for a moment and you have to jump back in it again. So I think that's normal for us to do. But we just have to stay grounded in that. Stay grounded in knowing that God looks out for his people.
Man, I preached this sermon yesterday that said that God is definitely going to protect his children. And by protecting us, sometimes he's not protecting us from our enemies. Sometimes he's protecting us from ourselves.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we always say, Lord, protect me from my enemy. But sometimes, a lot of times, if we really swoop up with ourselves, our prayer needs to be, Lord, protect me from my enemy.
Which going back to what Shira just said, she just said, sometimes people don't like to spend time alone because they have to analyze themselves. Sometimes isolation, the enemy may want it to be negativity. I'm going to allow you to be isolated for your harm. But when you have the ability to be by yourself and sit by yourself, actually it gives you power. It gives you God's power because he's sitting you down. He's sitting you down with nobody around, nobody that you feel like can save you, no one that can help you, no one that can bring you to a different level, no one that can take you to another place. A lot of times, that's why he does that. So that's what we call that isolation season. But going back, because we're getting off topic.
Oh, man, like legit. That's what we do, y'all. That's what we do. Y'all literally getting that.
Yes. But anyway, going back to the question, it said... How do you handle people that benefited from the old version of you? In my opinion, when you are dealing with people that have benefited from the old version of you, you have to allow it to be as it may.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that old season of benefiting is no longer there, sometimes if you are not sitting down, that person is sitting down because they have to question themselves and say, why don't I no longer have the benefit of this person and whatever they aided me with anymore? That's nothing that you can tell yourself. That's something that they have to sit with themselves and they have to reflect on their own actions.
Facts. They have to deal with their own egos and their own self to figure out, you know what, why am I like this?
Yeah, definitely. All right, so I got another one. Another banger, because there's a whole bunch of bangers here.
Let's go.
So what does self-respect look like in dating, friendships, and family relationships?
Setting those healthy boundaries. Like if I'm telling you something, I'm not feeling something, you got to respect that. And you got to, you don't have to respect it, but you can't expect me to continue to be around you because I have that option of choosing to walk away.
You know, we've had these conversations for years about boundaries, and I completely agree. And I think that what people have to realize when you are loving yourself, that when you implement boundaries, the people that you are implementing boundaries with will not agree. They will not agree. They will not find comfort in it. Sometimes they will use it as the ability to make it seem as though you're doing something harmful to them. But it's a self thing. It's a self thing. It has nothing to do about a person on the outside. It's all about you loving on yourself and you recognizing that this does not make me feel good. It does not make me look good. It does not, it's not a good judge of my character. And all those things is what you have to recognize when it comes to loving yourself. It's okay to implement those boundaries and say, you know what? This is not what I like. And just recognize that when you implement boundaries, you're going to lose some people. You're going to lose some people. That guy that you think is, you know, the best guy in the world, if you put up the boundaries and he decides he don't like this, he want to run off to somebody else, then you have to accept that. That friendship that when you recognize that you didn't like this, and this, and you implemented self-love and boundaries and they recognize that they don't want to talk to you anymore, then you have to accept that this is a part of putting up a boundary. When it comes to family relationships, if these are boundaries that you have and you recognize that I don't want to feel this way anymore, and I know this is my family member, but I think boundaries is a safer place for me. It's a more, a more protected place for me, then they have to recognize that your boundaries are what's important to you and you will lose some. And I'm so sorry to have to be sniffling everybody's
ear. No, you are good.
Yeah, I think it's important to do that. And I think that when we think about boundaries, y'all listen, when you have boundaries, have realistic boundaries. Okay.
Say that again for the ones in the back.
Yeah, you can't have boundaries to say, you know what, I'm not going to talk to my child anymore. That don't work. That's not healthy. That's called neglect. That is not healthy, and some other things can happen from that. So we want to make sure that we don't just tune out the people. And don't be the kind of person that says, I'm going to use boundaries to avoid accountability, because people will do that. They will use their boundaries to say, I'm not going to deal with this person. I'm not going to talk to this person. I don't want this person in my life because this person is making me hold myself accountability, because you will remain in toxicity the rest of your toxic life. And it's just not healthy. You know, age has nothing to do with growth. Age and growth do not mean the same thing.
Yeah, and let me be real with y'all. How long you been saved has nothing to do with growth neither.
No. No, we were just talking about that Sunday school. You know, they were talking about allowing people to come into the church as they are, and pretty much not just putting a boundary on saying, you know, you got to come to church with a big hat and long dress all down to your the bottom of your, the top of your shoes. And the reality is, when you call people to look a certain way, you're going to get the ones that know the look. And when I say the ones that learn the look, the ones that know the look of the church, but their heart is sour. Their heart is not good. And they will come to church and be dressed up in the finest church attire and have a sour heart. So what we have to remember is that when we open up our hearts and say, you know what, we want to open up our hearts to the youth. We want to open up our hearts to those that don't believe in God. You can't say you have to have a certain look. You have to wear a cross hanging around your neck. You can't use foul language. You can't be, mistreating other people, because those are the ones that need to understand the love of God.
What we have to do is we have to allow them to come in to the church and then allow God to do the cleaning up. But what we want to do is we want them to come into the church already clean, failing to realize we wasn't already clean when we came into the church. I heard a pastor say this, and the older I get, the more I realize that it's true. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You are not going to reach a Kirk Franklin generation with the Albertina Walker method. Meaning, your message does not have to change. But the way that you deliver that message, it's got to change. You got to sift it.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And when you said the Kirk Franklin generation, that's so true. Because you know what? I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and I had to explain to them the times that you lived in is so different when it comes to dating, relationships, friendships, all those things. It's not the way it used to be. I remember growing up, I had like a best friend. Now, when I tell you this was my best friend, it don't matter what I told her, she wouldn't tell nobody. I remember, just to give you a synopsis, I remember when I had moved away, I was trying to get a specific kind of job, and they called her. They called her to ask some information about me, and they wasn't giving her no information. I mean, she wasn't giving them any information. She was like, yeah, okay, no information for you. And I actually had to call her. Now, this was for a job, okay? And I had to call her on three-way, like, okay, listen, it's okay. You can give him information that he needs to move forward. And that was because that's back in the day. That was my best friend. Like, I knew that this is somebody that wouldn't, you know. And so with the trouble of the time, just like biblically it says how things will change, parents will be against children will be against adults and adults against children, and so many things of today's time, you have to recognize that those relationships are going to be different. They're tainted now. And this means the friendships, the relationships, that means that relationship that started out with going on wonderful dates and he's opening the doors and he's closing doors or whatever chivalry, you know, it may not look the same today because those are the signs of the time. So we have to recognize that as the signs of the times change, those relationships are going to change now. So what do you do? Man, what do you do?
You got to roll with it.
Do you date the way you thought it was supposed to be back in the days? Or do you say, you know, I have to adjust myself? Just like we just talked about the church, you have to adjust yourself as time changes. You can't just say, okay, things are going to be like this forever, because they're not.
Mm-mm. They're not. They're not. Not at all. So, Sarah, Tweet already knows I'm doing this. But Sarah, I think it's time to throw a little scenario out there. Sarah, you know I'm the scenario king.
Oh, boy.
Lord. Look, y'all already know. So, all right, here's the scenario for you. So, Tweet, you are in the gym, okay? And there's a certain gentleman that has been catching your eye for a few weeks now. He goes to the same gym you go to and everything. And finally, you decide that, you know what, I'm going to approach him. How is it that you are going to approach him while still remaining in your femininity?
All right. So first thing I'm going to give myself is I'm going to give myself a quick visual before I answer this response. Because I know there's those that know me that already know what I'm getting ready to say. Okay. But I'm going to help y'all out. Unless he has dropped a piece of equipment on the floor that is causing him to be in direct danger, Miss Tweet is not going over to him and asking him anything, okay? Because that's just not my style. I don't do that. If it's something that I've done in the past, maybe it was because it didn't work. But it's something that in my present day, I don't believe in. So I'm not going to be doing that. However, to those women that find comfort in doing that, I don't think there's anything against it for them. That's just something that I'm not doing. The Bible says a man should be looking for a wife. And I just don't think that women should chase men, because men have stronger egos than women do. And once that ego gets boosted up, it's got to stay up, which means that you're always going to be chasing him in order for his ego to stay up. And if you don't, the moment you don't, there's going to be another female that does so. So me personally in the gym, unless you are about to be in direct danger or you have an imminent threat near you, sir, I will not be coming over to you and asking you anything.
Okay. Now, okay, I'm gonna throw something at you. Let's say that, because there's a way that you can approach him without him know, without like basically letting him know that like you're shooting your shot. Because what we got to look at, if we're going biblical days as well, when Boaz found Ruth, she was working, she was gleaning in the field. So yes, my sir. Question is, how would you show yourself like, yo, I'm interested?
Mm-hmm.
While still resting in your femininity.
So when we go back to Boaz and the attention that he paid to Ruth, Ruth was about her business. Ruth was a woman about her business. She did not go there, which a lot of women tend to do today. They feel like they can do things to get a man's attention, but men are visual. So when you do something to get his attention, you're doing exactly that. You are getting his visual attention. That doesn't mean you're getting his heart. And one of the things that I believe caught Boaz's attention about Ruth is she was about her business. She was hardworking. She did the things that she needed to do to get things done. And that was something that he was interested in. I don't believe that she did anything in particular as far as getting his attention. He paid attention to her, which because he was a man that was seeking. He was a single man that was seeking. So I think that's something that we should pay attention to. It's not that she didn't walk in front of Boaz with a short skirt on, flipping her hair. She didn't do any of those things. She was just a woman about her business. And I will urge you women that are listening, when you are a woman about your business, a lot of times you do capture the heart of others. And I think it's something that we just need to recognize.
I like that. I love that. I love that response. Now, I think it's only right. I'll give you the opportunity to throw me one, too.
All right. So this is my scenario. My scenario is you are at work. Mm-hmm. You are at work. And you are in a relationship. Okay. You're in a relationship. I'm going to tell you, I'm so sorry for this. I got some congestion going on.
You are fine.
But you're at work. You're in a relationship. But there's somebody in your work environment that has caught your attention that you believe is attractive. Again, like I said, mental visual first. So you just see as attractive. And she's been around you for a certain amount of time. And you want to get to know her. You don't know what her situation is or anything. What do you do being a man that's in a relationship? And when I say in a relationship, I'm not speaking about married. I'm just saying you are in a committed relationship with a female. What do you do?
For me, if I'm in a committed relationship, I'm in that committed relationship. I'm in that committed relationship. Look, Sierra didn't say that. Work wife.
Sierra, you know what I was thinking.
Look, I ain't going
now. Mind you, I did tell you that this is an attractive woman. Just like I mentioned,
she's attractive.
So what are you doing now? She spends her time around you. She has conversations with you. What are you doing? Because remember, I told you, men are visual. So how do you deal with that?
For me, and this is me and me alone, I'm going to remember why I chose my partner. Because this person can have all those great qualities, but there's something about a wife or a woman that you know that God has handpicked for you. They have that covering that you can't get from nowhere else. And I don't care if she's making me lunches. Like, no. No. Like, I ain't caring about none of that. Like,
she's making the lunch or she's buying the lunch.
Like, legit, like, I ain't caring about none of that. Like, for me, it's like that covering that you get when you find that person that's going to rock with you for the rest of your life. When you find that person that you can say, it's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, is my rib, is the reason why I do what I do. That's giving you more of a purpose in life. Like, you can't beat that.
I thought it was interesting that you said it at the very beginning. You said that's your wife, that's your covering. And that's very true. And you have to remember why you even allowed yourself to take that type of covenant with her. That's important because like every relationship, you know, even a relationship that doesn't have actual marriage in it, you're going to go through different things. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, some of y'all go through some stuff that I couldn't do, but power to you. But at the same time, you're supposed to just, you know, rock with it and don't be swayed by this next thing that you see, because I think it's important for men to remember they are visual. So sometimes what you see that is beautiful to the eye may not be beautiful to the heart.
Thank you. That part. And here's the thing. For my fellas and to my brothers, I want you to remember something. She isn't a wife once you put that ring on her finger. She was a wife before you put that ring on her finger. She becomes your wife once you put that ring on her finger. And that marriage license, that ring, and that marriage license is nothing but a piece of paper. You have to do the work on a continual basis. Every day ought to be like Christmas. Now, I'm not saying that every day is going to be perfect in that, but what I'm saying is like every day ought to be like Christmas, meaning like every day you ought to be learning something new about this woman. You ought to be like more excited to learn something new about this person. But that's just me. So sis, I'm gonna let you leave him with some advice to the ladies tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to, as a woman, when it comes to being a woman, be comfortable in your own skin. Don't let anybody deter you from being comfortable in your own skin, because just like we say, our character precedes us. So sometimes the insecurities that you feel like you may hide, that it may not be visual, they're seen. Especially if you carry yourself around, anybody that has strong discernment is seen. And it's nothing wrong with having insecurities. Work on yourself and love yourself. Put yourself first and don't look at it as being selfish, because that's what self-love, it feels like to other people that don't want you to do it, that is being selfish, but it's not. Love on yourself and give yourself the ability to be able to love on somebody else. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot fully love somebody else, because those boundaries will drop down and be gone. All right.
Facts. Go on ahead, sis.
So with that being said, before we close, I want everybody to make sure that they turn into Tweet Talks, because Tweet Talks is officially back. And I want to give super shout out to my bro for getting me started again. As I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm seeing you coming through. I had no idea that it was such a big impact. So y'all stay tuned in to Tweet Talks, to Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, because Tweet Talks is officially back. And anybody's interested in being a guest, y'all know how to email me. If not, go check out the page.
Yes. I'm excited that it's back. I'm excited. To be honest, I really am. And I'm glad that I can push you out of that comfort zone and bring you back in, because your voice is needed. So you all definitely stay tuned. All week long, we dropping some fire for y'all over here on James H. Glover Studios. We got a show tomorrow. We got a show on Thursday. We got a show tomorrow. We got a show on Wednesday. We got a show on Thursday. Well, we don't have one on Thursday. We got one on Friday for y'all. And, well, yeah, we do got one on Thursday. We drop in an old episode on Christmas Day, which is a banger, banger, banger.
I'll be tuned in for that one.
Yes, for sure. Y'all got to go over there to YouTube. That is exclusively for my YouTube audience. So if y'all want to see that one, y'all got to stay tuned to the James H. Glover Studios YouTube channel and catch us out over there. Friday, we coming back with another powerful episode. And y'all stay tuned, because the beginning of the year, y'all get ready. We have so many things that we bringing back and that we are bringing out. We are going back to the basics, and we bringing back PRL on Saturday mornings, which is Prayer Request Live. We're bringing that back on Saturday mornings. We're bringing so many great things to you all. So y'all stay tuned. That starts the beginning of the year. And as I always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning sometimes that we're looking at is bad, God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Peace. And make sure y'all tuning in to the podcast too. It drops at midnight. So y'all make sure y'all tuning in to the podcast everywhere that y'all get podcasts. Peace. Hello. We pray that you enjoyed this episode coming from James H. Glover Studios. And if you want to see more like it, follow us, like, and subscribe to all of our social media stations so that you can never miss another episode like this. See y'all soon.